Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. For the past 34 years, members of the North American Butterfly Association have been heading for forests and fields, binoculars and nets in hand, to count the fluttering insects during their flights of fancy. The day-long hunts in the summer and fall provide valuable data about the numbers and varieties of butterflies in an area. Typically, there are more than 450 counts a year held in North America. Recently, one set off from Concord, Massachusetts, and it's where Living on Earth's Kim Gittleson went out for the count.
Hey, there's Uncle Pete.
You got it.
First of all, I'd like to welcome you all to the 20th annual Concord Butterfly Count.
Dick Walton stands in front of a crowd of 20 butterfly enthusiasts packed like sardines in his living room. In the center of the room, a champagne bottle, covered in glittery butterfly stickers, sits on a table to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the Concord Butterfly Count.
As usual, we'll also have a special door prize for the best non-LEP critter.
Walton is somewhat of a rock star to this audience. He's not only written a handful of guides to Massachusetts butterflies, he's also the founder of the Concord Count. Today, as he's done for the past two decades, Walton orchestrates the event.
Okay, we're going to have four teams, and Marge, you're in charge of the Acton team.
Thank you.
Eric, Sudbury, Wayland.
The teams look over maps and plot out paths. They alert each other to special areas.
The community gardens are right here.
And to special butterflies.
Oh, I wanted to tell you, there are Edwards hair streaks on the entrance road that before the one you usually go in.
But it's not just about looking for the prettiest butterfly of the bunch. Butterfly counts are meant to provide a survey of both numbers and species variation. Walton points to a spreadsheet on a large computer monitor.
Insect populations in general, and butterflies specifically, have good years and bad years. And so throughout this data, you'll see very large numbers or very small numbers that indicate that for that year, populations were either large or small.
The numbers from today's count will be totaled and entered into the spreadsheet. This data is then sent off to the North American Butterfly Association. NABA compiles the data from counts held across the nation and publishes the results in the spring. Dick and three volunteers make their first stop at Barrel Farm in Concord. The nature preserve and working farm is covered with ankle-high plants like vetch and daisies. This usually makes it a great place to spot lots of different butterfly species.
Typically in an open area like this, agricultural edge, we might well see swallowtails, monarchs, several skipper species. Almost any butterfly, really, the painted lady, American painted lady. There are very few butterflies that we wouldn't see here, except for specific wetland species.
There are a couple of cabbage whites, one lit.
Patsy Eichelberg shouts out the names of butterflies as she sees them. She trudges through the scrubby greenery, gripping her butterfly net. Eichelberg says the net is perfectly engineered to make catching butterflies as easy and as safe as possible.
Basically, if they're very easy, you can just come up underneath them. Butterflies have a tendency if you catch them on the bush, they have a tendency to drop. So if you come up under them, you're more likely to get them. That way you're not swatting at them and, you know, possibly damaging, you know, hurting them in some way. So.
Only one cabbage white, one orange sulfur, and two clouded sulfur.
After about 45 minutes of combing the fields, Jay Shetterly and Dick Walton discuss their findings.
All in all, a poor showing. Yes. Normally we see more butterflies just flying around here.
Yeah. 10 years ago, I would say we had 8 or 9 species here, pretty good numbers.
Yep, I think that's right. We may be talking about just today. It is still a little cloudy out, but it seems thin even for the conditions. What's your feeling, Jake?
My feeling is if you apply pesticides to a farm for enough years, you'll kill all the butterflies.
While Barrel Farm does use pesticides, it does so under integrated pest management. IPM is a pest control strategy that uses an ecological approach to try and reduce the use of pesticides. The 200 acres that make up Barrel Farm use minimal amounts of chemicals, but there's no telling what's happening in nearby Concord farms.
as we were driving here, there was a tractor in front of us with a large plastic container on it. And both Patsy and I noticed the odor. It didn't pull into these fields, but we don't know where it was going. And I certainly have seen tractors and spraying herbicides and pesticides, and all of those things affect particularly insect life in any area.
After tallying up the few butterflies they spotted, the team heads about 5 miles down the road to Davis Farm, a more rustic area filled with wildflowers that they know has not been sprayed with pesticides.
What do you got, John? Silver-spotted skipper on the Queen Anne's lace.
Almost as soon as the volunteers step out of their cars, they spot a variety of butterflies.
And we've had a tiger swallowtail, a great spangled fritillary. Did you see another skipper, Jay?
It's soon easy to see what made the difference. Milkweed. Milkweed is a plant that is poisonous to most animals, but useful to the family of butterflies that include monarchs. Their caterpillars feed on the cardioglycoside, a milky white substance that runs through the veins in the plant's leaves. This protection is then worn like a shield, and it makes butterflies like the monarch toxic to predators. Here in the field near Davis Farm, the fuzzy pink blossoms of the plant are dotted with creatures of all sorts. Again, Dick Walton.
It's obviously monarchs feed on the milkweed itself, but many butterflies use the blossoms to nectar. In Canada, people are encouraged to pull up and destroy milkweed. The government has incentive programs, and that's the kind of thing that really does hurt butterflies.
And milkweed destruction is not just happening in Canada. Up on the hill above Davis Farm, a large office building looms, the cleared-out lot around it perhaps a premonition of the fate that could befall the rest of this butterfly haven. The destruction of butterfly habitat and the resulting decline in population could have far-reaching effects.
Butterflies are critical to pollinating wildflower species and keeping our native habitats intact.
As other pollinators, like bats and bees, are increasingly threatened by mysterious diseases, many scientists are studying alternate pollinators like butterflies and moths. Counts like this one hold the key to understanding whether population fluctuations indicate a crisis or simply a cycle of nature. Dick Walton says the jury's still out for butterflies.
I sense that insect populations are very plastic, and given the right conditions, they are able to, after a bad year, come back and repopulate an area. The real critical problem is habitat destruction.
The final tally for this day turns out to be about average. 38 species and 590 individual butterflies were spotted. But counting butterflies is about more than just numbers. Novelist Vladimir Nabokov, who was also a well-known butterfly collector, once said that other than writing, butterflies were among the most intense pleasures known to man. And Patsy Eichelberg agrees.
To hold a butterfly in your hand and see how fragile and what a beautiful part of nature that is, it's just an amazing thing for me. It's a kind of a life-giving thing.
For Living on Earth, I'm Kim Gittleson in Concord, Massachusetts.
Armed with a small bite.